We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Greg Stone continues his series on a man's legacy as a husband, a father, and in the kingdom. Greg Stone is a pastor of Jewish ministries at Gateway Church and is a husband and father. Let's listen in.
Hey friend, it's me again, Pastor Greg Stone. This is our third of three blogs. I introduced myself in the last two blogs, but maybe you just joined today, and so I want to encourage you to listen to those two previous blogs. And if you don't know me, by way of introduction, I get to serve as the Jewish pastor here at Gateway Church. So I am Jewish, and I came to faith in Jesus in 1982. I've been walking with the Lord now for just over 38 years. I grew up in the heart of American Judaism in the suburbs of New York City. I was bar mitzvahed just before I turned 13. As I mentioned last time, the word bar mitzvah actually means son of the commandment. So it's where a Jewish person is declared to be a man, a mensch. The rabbi who bar mitzvahed me was the vice president of the World Jewish Council. So I kind of really did grow up in the heart of American Judaism. I graduated from Hebrew High School, been married for nearly 38 years, and I'm the father of five and the grandfather of 12. 2 weeks ago, we started to talk about legacy, about what we're leaving behind. And we started by talking about the legacy of our marriage. Last time, we talked about the legacy we leave our kids. But today, I want to talk with you about your legacy in the kingdom of God. Now, usually, when people talk about legacy, they talk about money. But that's not what we're talking about here. We certainly could, because giving is an important part of our legacy. People give large amounts of money, have their name written on building projects, and that is a significant part of our legacy. It surely is. But since we only have three sessions on legacy, I want to talk with you about other aspects of your legacy in the kingdom. What will your legacy in the kingdom be? We've all been to funerals where the preacher did his best to make the deceased person sound as good of a person as they possibly could, because we try to honor a deceased person at the funeral. And sometimes, frankly, I've thought, well, obviously I knew that person better than the preacher did, because that was not what they were like. John Maxwell has said that success is when the people who know you best love and respect you the most. We could mention a number of important factors that will determine your legacy in the kingdom, but I'll just mention four really big ones. First of all, your legacy in the kingdom is dependent upon you recognizing that you have a king. We are at the beginning now of an election season, but kings are not up for election. Dictionary.com says that kings are people who have a lifelong tenure by hereditary right. In other words, they have inherited their position. And they are the chief authority over a country or over a people. Friend, if you have accepted Jesus, Yeshua, as Lord, then you have a king. And he is the chief authority over you. And you are part of his kingdom. It's his kingdom. And so I say to you, be faithful to God. I have found that it's really helpful to understand the difference between two Greek words. One of them is the word behind Lord, and the other is the word for Savior. The Greek word for Lord is kurios. That Greek word appears 748 times in the New Testament. 90% of the time, that word is translated with the word Lord. Sometimes the word, though, is translated with the word master. So what's a master? That'll help us understand what a Lord is, because it's the same word. A master, a kurios, is a person who has a slave. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ." Slaves, obey your earthly lords. If you call Jesus, Yeshua, Lord, if you call him your kurios, then he is your master, and you are his slave. This is the reason that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, "Don't you know that you're not your own? You've been bought with a price." Friend, your legacy in the kingdom will depend upon your willingness to come to grips with the fact that he actually owns you. In fact, the word for Lord, kurios, is actually also translated with the English word owner. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 8, the scripture says, "When evening had come, the owner, the kurios of the vineyard, said to the steward, 'Go call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.'" So when we call Jesus our Lord, we're saying, "Jesus, you are my master, and I am your slave. You are my owner, and I am your property." Friend, this is really a surprise to a lot of people, but the Bible does not command us to confess Jesus as Savior. It commands us to confess him as Lord. Listen to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, kurios Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." In other words, you will get a Savior. When we confess Jesus as Lord, he saves us, and we get a Savior. Unfortunately, many people just want to confess Jesus as their Savior. In other words, they don't really want a Lord. They want to be in control. They don't want Jesus to be in control. They want to be the master in their relationship with God, and they have failed to recognize that Jesus is their King. They really just want him to be their servant, to be their maid, to clean up the mess that they've made with their life so that they can enter eternity. They don't really see him as the one who controls their lives. Friend, Jesus did not come just to serve, although he does clean up our messes. But kings expect their subjects to be faithful to them. At the recent XO conference, David Willis said, "God's definition of success is faithful." So are you faithful to God as your king? Because, friend, you will not have a very good legacy in the kingdom if you're not faithful to the king. Now, your legacy is also dependent upon whether or not you're faithful to others, especially others who are in the kingdom. You can't have a very good legacy if you're not part of a team. Your legacy calls you to be faithful to the teams that your king has assigned you to. Your number one teammate in life is your wife. So point number two, if you want a good legacy in the kingdom, you need to be faithful to your wife. It's plain and simple. We will not have a good legacy if we are not faithful to our marriage team. Years ago, the Lord showed me that my marriage team could get much more accomplished if I was really loyal to the team. I came to faith in 1982. In 1985, I was in the Air Force, transferred me to another base. And upon arriving at my new base, I had to attend this mandatory education briefing because the Air Force puts a really high value on education. So they require that everyone who is new to a base attend this kind of briefing. This is the education. These are the colleges that are in the area, and we want you to go. And we'll help pay for a lot of that. So at the end of the briefing, the man who gave the briefing challenged me to stay behind. He wanted to talk with me, and he challenged me to go back to college so I could get my degree. So I went home, and I said to my wife, Donna, I said, "Donna, Mr. Williams thinks that I should go back to school to get my degree so I could become an officer, apply and see how that goes." And so Donna said to me, she said, "I always knew you'd be an officer." I said, "Why didn't you tell me?" She said, "Well, you wouldn't have listened. I learned something here." You see, we talked then about what it would mean to our family if I went back to school. We talked about the fact that I would have to work in the Air Force full time while I went to school full time because I had to get the degree by a certain time so I could apply by the time I was 29 and a half, so I could be commissioned by the time I was 30, just how the rules work. So we became a very traditional family. A year and a half later, I was accepted to officers training school. And on the Saturday following my acceptance, I was walking in the parking lot on the base, approaching the barbershop to get a haircut. And the Lord surprised me with his voice. I wasn't even in prayer. He said, "Do you know why you got accepted to officers training school?" He said, "You and your wife talked about your responsibilities. You said you'd go to school. You said you'd work. And she said she would take care of the house and the kids. You talked," and he said, this is the way he said it, "you talked about your responsibilities as touching them. Now, those words, as touching them, might surprise people, but in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, the Old King James Version says it this way: "I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." And the Lord was saying to me that you agreed as touching. In other words, you talked about your responsibilities, about what you were actually going to do, the both of you. And the Lord went on from there, and he began to tell me about the Tower of Babel. He said, "Look at the Tower of Babel. They were sinners outside my will. Yet I said, were they not able to build that tower all the way to heaven, to do the impossible, because they were in agreement?" Well, I went home and I told my wife about that experience in the parking lot, and the next day, the pastor preached on the Tower of Babel. We knew that we had heard from God. Friend, you and your wife need to be faithful to the call of God on your team. If you are, you will have a much better legacy. So be faithful to your king and be faithful to your wife. Have you been doing it, being faithful to your wife? Now, you have another family team that you need to be faithful to. Point number three, be faithful to your roots. In other words, be faithful to your parents. Now, we know that the fifth commandment actually says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long on the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Hebrew word for honor is actually the word kabod. It means to be weighty or to be heavy. So if we're going to honor our parents, then we need to treat them as though they have great gravity, to treat them with respect. As children, we honor our parents and we obey them. But as adults, we don't have to obey our parents, but we do have to honor them. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. Children, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says that we are to leave our father and mother, we are to cleave to our wife, and we are to become one flesh. And when we do that, our wives become the primary person in our lives. But the call to honor our parents never diminishes. Again, this word for honor means weighty. We must always treat them as weighty people. So when our parents give us their opinion, we treat their advice as weighty. As adults, we don't have to obey our parents the way children have to obey their parents. So we take the advice of our parents and we go back to our spouse, who is our primary partner in life, and we say, honey, my parents said that they think this is what we should do. What do you think? And then the two of you, the husband and the wife, consider the advice that your parents gave you and you weigh it heavily. I like the story of the Rechabites in Jeremiah chapter 35. The Lord told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 35, verse 2, go to the Rechabite family and invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. And so Jeremiah does it, and he gave them wine. But they replied, we do not drink wine, because our forefather, Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, gave us this command, neither you or your descendants must ever drink wine. And so then Jeremiah says to the family of the Rechabites, this is what the Lord Almighty says, the God of Israel. You have obeyed the command of your forefather Jehonadab and have followed all of his instructions and have done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, shall never fail to have a descendant to serve me. This isn't about drinking wine or not. This is about the way that they honored their father. The Rechabites honored their forefather, and consequently, God honored the Rechabites. And we need to honor our parents. Friend, in 1994, I was talking to an 84-year-old lady in a nursing home. She was really brokenhearted. She thought she was a horrible sinner. And I did my best to ask, what was your sin? You know, was it adultery? Was it murder? Was it lying? This lady was broken. None of that. She felt that she had dishonored her parents. So I tried to find out what it was that she had dishonored her parents with. And to be honest, I could never figure it out. It was so minimal. She just thought, I just failed to honor my parents adequately. But she was brokenhearted over it. Like her, the older I get, the more important that my parents become. And this is true even though they've been gone for years. Their passing has not diminished their significance in my life. It's actually increased it. The last time I saw my mother alive, she was in the hospital. I was standing at the side of her hospital bed feeding her, and all of a sudden my mother turned away from me. She looked straight in front of her, and my wife and I both heard my mother say, "Jesus," and remember, my mother's Jewish, "Jesus, would you take good care of my son? He's a good man." That is one of the most important testimonies of my life. So we all have biological parents that we are called to honor. We have step-parents. We're called to honor them. We have spiritual parents, those who led us to the Lord. We're called to honor them. We have pastors like Pastor Robert and Pastor Jimmy, the fathers of our local church. We're called to honor them. Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5 says that the fathers of the church are Israel. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5 says, "Who are these Israelites? To them pertain the adoption and the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, of whom are the fathers." So Romans chapter 9, verse 5 says the fathers of the church are Israel. Could it be that if the church were to honor Israel, God would prosper the church? That would be the fifth commandment. Well, Pastor Robert has directly said that God told him that the reason that God has blessed Gateway Church so much is because the church blesses Israel. And the fathers of the church are Israel. And the fifth commandment says if we honor our father and mother, we will live long and prosper. So we all have biological parents, and many of us have step-parents, and we have spiritual parents who led us to the Lord, and we have pastors like Pastor Robert and Pastor Jimmy, the fathers of our local church. Sometimes God will give us a father, as it were, an elder statesman who can speak into our lives and help us as a father. And we need to honor them as well. I was living in Minnesota in 1996. It was time for me to get ordained in the ministry. And the denomination I was in told me that I had to pick a person who would lay hands on me and ordain me. Well, I was new to the area and I didn't know anybody. So I called up the denomination's headquarters and I asked them for help in picking a person. And so the secretary asked me, "What kind of person do you want?" I said, "Well, I want a senior minister who's not had any life complicating issues." And the secretary said to me, "You want Arvid Kingsrider." I said, "Great, I don't know him, but I'd like to have him if I can have him." So Arvid Kingsrider, he laid hands on me. He ordained me in the ministry in 1996. 20 years later, the Lord moved Don and I to Gateway Church. It was my very first service at Gateway. It was Wednesday. It was February 18th, 2015. I had just finished teaching a class, and I was walking in the foyer. I met a man in the foyer. He was with a female friend. They were, at the time, I didn't know, but they were actually dating, and they eventually married. I actually got to perform their wedding. So we met them in the foyer, and I said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Doug Kingsrider." And I asked, "Would you happen to know Arvid Kingsrider?" And he said, "Yes, that's my father." I said, "Your father ordained me in the ministry 20 years ago. Friend, I met this man for the very first time at my very first service at Gateway Church. Friend, I have a prayer team that supports me in the ministry. And friend, I've asked Doug and his wife, Kim, to lead that prayer team. I feel so blessed by this relationship. Friend, can I ask you, are you faithful to the people that God has called you to honor? Do they think you're faithful to them? Be faithful to your king. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your parents. If I had more time, I would talk about being faithful to your children. But I did the last blog on that, so I'll move on to point number 4 in this blog. Be faithful to your job. In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people." Now, in our culture, we don't have earthly master-slave relationships. The closest thing we have to that on the earth is our earthly boss. Does your boss think that you are faithful to the job when he's not around, when she's not around. And if the Lord called you to another position today, would your boss be happy with the legacy that you left behind? What will your legacy be? Friend, as followers of Jesus, we ought to be the most faithful employees at our job. I would never want to be a bad witness based upon my job performance. So how are you doing at being faithful at your job? If you want a good legacy in the kingdom, you need to be faithful to your king. You need to be faithful to your wife. You need to be faithful to your parents. And you need to be faithful to your job. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I know that every one of us wants to have a solid legacy in the kingdom. I want to have a solid legacy in the kingdom. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll help every one of us, Lord, to be faithful to the people that you call us to be faithful to. Most importantly, to be faithful to Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.